The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. We'll end there at verse 11. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Could we still our hearts, please, in the Lord's presence again and ask him for his help? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee today that we have the inspired word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we have this precious book. And our Father, Lord, as we think, Lord, back 400 years ago to the printing and the publication of the authorized version, O Lord, how we thank thee and how we praise thee for the publication and the printing of the word of the living God. And we thank you, Father, that you have preserved it down through the past four centuries. And we rejoice today, Lord, that we still have thy word. And though, Lord, evil men, wolves in sheep's clothing would seek to water down the word of God and would indeed seek to steal it away from us, Lord, we thank thee today that thy word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, bless us around your word today. Give us the help of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, make this a profitable time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about Proverbs 22 and verse 28. I did say that we would read a verse from the book of Proverbs. So turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 28. And this is the text for today's message. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Those were the immortal words spoken by Sir Winston Churchill during the Second World War. And I want you to focus on the last four words of that glorious quotation. Churchill said, "We shall never surrender." The title of the message today is No Surrender. And you were maybe wondering at the title if you were reading your announcements bulletin. No Surrender. Well, don't be alarmed, because whenever I use that term, no surrender, I don't mean it in a political way, the way that people talk about it today. You know, these people who shout, no surrender. And the tragedy is that they're really saying it to the Lord Jesus Christ. No surrender. They won't surrender to Christ. Is not the tragedy about many people in Ulster who claim to be Protestant and loyalist and unionist, and all they can say is, no surrender, no surrender. But they haven't surrendered to Christ. They know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the reason I have chosen this title today is simply because I believe that when it comes to Bible versions, our cry ought to be, no surrender. No surrender. You see, there are those today who would like us to surrender the authorized version. They would like us to give it up, to hand it over, and to go with the flow. But I believe that we need to reply as Winston Churchill did all those years ago, as he was faced with the might of Nazi Germany. We shall never surrender. Well then, why do we hold to the King James Bible? Why is it that we will never surrender? Well, first of all, we will never surrender because of its accuracy. Because of the accuracy of the King James Bible. You see, we've read Psalm 19 today, and I want you to notice verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. The law of the Lord, the Word of God, is perfect. I've heard people say, oh, the King James contains a number of mistranslations. The King James Bible contains a number of errors, but it's still the most accurate version. It's not perfect, but it's still the most accurate. Well, I don't share that belief. I believe that the King James Authorized Version is perfect. I believe that there are no mistakes in it. There are no mistranslations in it. The psalmist could say the law of the Lord is perfect. It is accurate. You see, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, he spoke about the jot and the tittle. Do you remember that? He said that not one jot nor tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And he was referring to the smallest marks in the Hebrew alphabet, the smallest little inscriptions in the Hebrew alphabet. And friends, you see, the Lord is concerned about the jots and the tittles. He's concerned about the tiniest, the smallest little marks or little inscriptions in his precious word. And the Holy Spirit presided over the recording and the writing of the inspired word of God. And the Holy Spirit presided over it so that it would be perfect. You see, whenever the writers of the Bible, whenever they wrote down on the parchment the words that the Lord communicated to them, the Lord was overseeing every part of that process. The Holy Spirit was supervising the whole process from Genesis 1 verse 1 until Revelation 22 verse 21. And the reason the Spirit was supervising it all and overseeing it all was that he wanted to make sure that it would be accurate and that it would be perfect. You see, everything that the Lord does is perfect. Remember that the psalmist said, as for God, his way is perfect. And absolutely everything he does is perfect. From start to finish, it is perfection. Now the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Scriptures to write down the divine Word of God. And they were written down on the parchment, or as some people talk today, the manuscripts. And the manuscripts were preserved until 1611, until the translators sat down to translate the King James Bible. And you see, friends, we need to understand the basis, the foundation that the Word of God rests upon. What foundation does the Authorized Version rest upon? Well, it rests upon two manuscripts. The Old Testament rests upon what is known as the Masoretic Text. That's the Hebrew manuscript of the Old Testament. That is the perfect, the infallible manuscript that the Holy Spirit overseen and supervised and presided over as those 39 different people of the Old Testament recorded the words of the Old Testament. And then the New Testament manuscript is known as the Textus Receptus, or as we would say, the received text. So you have, first of all, the Old Testament, the Masoretic text, then the New Testament, the received text. Both of those manuscripts contain the perfect, inerrant Word of the living God. And it was from those manuscripts that the men of the King James Bible, the translators, it was from those manuscripts that the King James translators translated. In the year 1604, King James I of England commanded those translators to diligently and carefully translate from the original manuscripts. And the translators were diligent and they were careful, because they realized that Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." So friends, I hope that we understand today the basis, the foundation of the Authorized Version. The basis of the Authorized Version, the foundation of the Authorized Version, is the infallible Word of the living God. The manuscripts were without error. And we praise God that in those 7 years from 1604 until 1611, we praise God that the Holy Spirit supernaturally presided over all that went on. And whenever the King James Bible was finished, it was perfect. Isn't it wonderful that we have that same Bible today? 400 years later. How sad it is that the other versions are not nearly as accurate. And I want for a moment to consider the contrast between the King James Bible and the modern versions, because you will see very clearly that whereas the King James Bible is perfectly accurate, the modern versions are not so. Take, first of all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now listen to the Living Bible. This is the Bible that we're going to compare the King James with this morning. The Living Bible. 1 Peter 2. "That God is on one side, and all people on the other side. And Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. That's quite a mouthful. But it's not accurate. It's inaccurate. It's adding to the Word of God, and it's taking away from the Word of God. Take, for example, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a text of Scripture. But think about the Living Bible. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 is recorded as in the Living Bible. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange he poured God's goodness into us. It's righteousness in the King James Bible, but somehow the translators of the Living Bible have changed it to goodness. And there's a big difference. The translators of the Living Bible had no right, no authority to change righteousness to goodness. And because they've changed righteousness to goodness, they have actually made their translation inaccurate. Then one more text. 1 John 1:7. What does the King James Bible say? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now listen to the Living Bible. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. You maybe say, well, what's the difference? There's not much difference in that. Did you notice that Christ was left out? King James renders it, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But in the Living Bible, there's no mention of Christ. As far as they are concerned, as far as the translators are concerned, he's just a man. He's not the Christ. He's not the anointed. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Son of God. Can you see the inaccuracies of the modern versions? Why do we hold to the King James Bible? First of all, because of its accuracy. Then secondly, we hold to the King James Bible because of its purity. Psalm 19 and verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, dear friends, the Word of God that we have today is pure. There's no impurities in it. We read that other verse from Psalm 19. Another great text speaking about the purity of the Word of God. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You see, the Word of God is clean. The Word of God produces the fear of the Lord, which is clean and it's wholesome. The reason why there's so little fear of God today is because people have turned away from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is pure and it's clean. And those who read the Word of God, those who study the Word of God, will inevitably be a clean and a pure people. You see, Christians, sometimes whenever we wander from the Lord, whenever we let the Lord down, is it not because we have gotten away from the Word of God? Is it not because we have neglected private Bible study, the private reading of God's Word? Is it not that we have neglected to meet together with the Lord's people in the house of God? You see, the word of the Lord is pure. The purity of God's word. Psalm 119 speaks about the purity of the Lord's word. Psalm 119. If you go to verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. If you turn back to Psalm 12. Again, you're reminded of the purity of the word of God. Psalm 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. We love the word of God. We hold to the word of God because of its purity. And how could it be anything else whenever it comes from the one who is of purer eyes than to behold evil? The Lord is pure, therefore his word must be pure. The accuracy of the King James Bible, the purity of the King James Bible, then the majesty of the King James Bible, thirdly. Notice that. The reason we hold fast to the authorized version is because of its majesty. Psalm 119, again, if you turn to verse 161. Psalm 119, verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Notice that last statement. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. The psalmist was saying that he was overawed by the majesty of the word of God. To the psalmist, the word of God was awesome. Now, I know that people today use that word so lightly. And everybody talks about something being awesome. People are continually referring to things today as being awesome. And the word is used flippantly and lightly. But you know, the psalmist here, whenever he used this word awe, he wasn't being flippant or being light. He spoke of the word of God as being something majestic, something that was awesome. And we believe today that the King James Bible is awesome, that it is majestic. You see, the language of the King James Bible is majestic. The language of the King James Bible is filled with majesty. You compare the King James Bible and the language of the King James Bible, you compare it to the modern versions, whether it's the Living Translation, whether it's the NIV, or whether it's the Revised Version, or the Message, whatever Bible, whatever modern version you care to compare the King James with, you will notice the difference in the language. The other versions are down here. The King James Bible is up here. Oh, the majesty of its language. And of course, because its language is so majestic, it's easily memorized. You see, this is something that people forget today. This is something that the translators of the modern versions forget. The language of the King James Bible was preserved and was presided over by the Holy Spirit so that people could easily remember it. And whenever you come to the modern versions today, the problem is that you can't memorize it. It's so difficult to remember. The reason is that the language is not majestic. As someone described it, the language of the modern versions is like a plumber's manual. It's like the Beano. But oh, the majesty of the language of the King James Bible. The King James Bible contains words that are short. It contains words that have very few syllables. Have you ever noticed that? Many of the words in the King James Bible are short. They're one-syllable words. You see, the Lord wants you to remember them. The Lord wants you to memorize them. Why does the Lord want you to memorize them? Why does the Lord want them to go in here and to stick? Why does the Lord want you to hide His word in your heart? Well, back to Psalm 19, we get the answer. Why does the Lord want us to memorize His word? Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. No soul is converted apart from the word of God. Every person who is converted to Jesus Christ, at some point along the line, they have come in contact with the law of the Lord. They've come in contact with the Holy Scriptures. And it is the Holy Scriptures that brings life to the soul. It is the Word of God that transforms the sinner and makes them into a saint. It's not Pope Benedict the 16th. Pope Benedict the 16th does not make any person into a saint. Though today in Rome, there are many people who believe that he has the power to confer sainthood on the individual. How sad it is that there are many gathered in the Vatican today in St. Peter's Square for the beatification of John Paul II. And as far as Pope Benedict is concerned, he is now blessed. He's almost a saint. Not quite, but he's almost there. What nonsense. Oh, the darkness of Romanism. Friends, is it any wonder that we are so opposed to it? Is it any wonder that we have so little time for it? Is it any wonder that we so loathe and despise the Church of Rome? We do not despise nor loathe the people caught up in it. We love them and we desire that they would be saved. But my, how we abhor the whole system of Romanism. Because it is filled with superstition, it's filled with darkness, it's filled with doctrines of devils. Apparently, Pope John Paul II's blood is going to be displayed for the faithful to venerate. You see, before Pope John Paul II died, the doctors took some blood from him. And they stored that blood and they actually put into the blood what's known as anticoagulants, which keep the blood from clotting. And now his blood is going to be displayed for the Roman Catholics to worship. My dear friends, has there ever been a greater attack on the gospel? Has there ever been a more brazen assault on the finished work of Jesus Christ? You see, the blood of Pope John Paul II is being lifted up as the means of redemption. But my Bible tells me that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's not the blood of Pope John Paul II. And it's not the blood of any mortal man. Pope John Paul II's blood is sinful blood. It's contaminated blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We got a wee bit sidetracked there. We were speaking about the majesty of the King James Bible. And I want to just make 2 points before we move on. And time's nearly gone, so I want to finish. Why is it that the King James Bible is so majestic? Why is the language so majestic? Well, it has to be majestic because it comes from someone who is majestic. The divine author of the King James Bible, Jehovah God, is majestic. And it's no wonder then that his word is majestic. But then you think of the subject matter of the King James Bible. You see, friends, this book deals with very serious issues. It deals with eternity. It deals with heaven. It deals with hell. It deals with salvation. It deals with the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Those are serious, solemn issues. Either majestic issues. So the Word of God has to be majestic. How do I know that the modern versions aren't the Word of God? It's because their language doesn't reflect the great author of the Scriptures. Moving on, briefly, the last two thoughts. Why do we hold to the King James Bible? Why do we not surrender? Because of its testimony. You see, the King James Bible testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. The King James Bible exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. It magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem with the modern versions is that they do the opposite. They take away from the Savior. They take away from his deity, the fact that he is the Son of God and God the Son. They take away from his virgin birth. Did you know that in Matthew 1 verse 23, where the Authorized Version says that, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child," do you know that the modern versions replace it with "a young woman"? It's not a virgin, it's a young woman. And then the modern versions take away the blood. We've already touched on that today, but Colossians 1:14 in the King James, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." But in the modern version, it's "in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." By the way, that's the 2011 NIV, the most recent of the modern perversions. And that's the way it translates Colossians 1:14. So the versions aren't getting any better, though some would claim that they are. Then the last reason why we hold to the King James Bible is because of its history. Its history. Psalm 68 verse 11, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it." Oh, what a history the King James Bible has. Down through the last 400 years, you think of all the great preachers, the great missionaries who have used the King James Bible. William Booth, C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, W.P. Nicholson, Ian Paisley, Colin Peckham, these great preachers, the one thing that they all have in common is that they held to the King James Bible. Great missionaries like David Brainerd, John Wesley, David Livingstone, William Carey, Hudson Taylor. The list goes on and on. They would not surrender the King James Bible. They wouldn't touch the modern versions with a barge pole. And you know, friends, we need to have their spirit. We need to hold rigidly to the King James Bible just as they held rigidly to it. To quote Sir Winston Churchill again, we shall never surrender. I want to finish with a quotation from the Trinitarian Bible Society. There are hundreds of thousands of Christian people in Africa, India, the Far East, and the West Indies who use the King James Version and want no other. It is the Bible they know and love, and from which the gospel is preached to them. In their resistance to less reliable modern versions, these people show more discernment than many in our own country who have too readily adopted one or other of the modern versions far inferior to the authorized version. It is right to keep to the authorized version, not because it is older, but because it is better than the versions offered in its place. This Bible is a precious gift of God for which we should be thankful. Its excellence, its faithfulness, its power and fruitfulness have been well tried in the experience of millions. It must not be surrendered in exchange for an inferior version.